Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, it's sort of medical hour today, which is no harm. While skin cancer accounts for the majority of cancer cases in Ireland, it is largely avoidable. Noticing the early signs is of crucial importance to receiving the best treatment. May is Melanoma Awareness Month. Professor Anne-Marie Tobin is the clinical lead for dermatology in the HSE and joins me now with some advice on protecting your largest organ and staying sun smart. Good afternoon, Anne-Marie.
Good afternoon, Ray.
That's kids love that, don't they? What's the largest organ in your body?
Yeah
skin.
Absolutely.
And we don't take care of it, do we? We're sort of negligent when it comes to our skin.
I think we're getting better, though. I think a lot of people who've young children are very conscious of protecting their skin and the sun. So it's trying to get that message through to other people and to other generations that Irish people in general are quite fair-skinned and we need to be careful in the sun.
The history of us and getting a tan. Go on. What's your understanding of it?
Well, you've Coco Chanel to blame for it, because up until the late 1800s, early 1900s, it wasn't considered fashionable at all to have a tan. In fact, it was associated with being an outdoor worker.
So
tans, you'd see ladies were, you know, using parasols to protect their skin from the sun. And Coco Chanel made tans fashionable, so she's responsible.
She's a lot to answer for, doesn't she? Yes.
She certainly does.
And seriously, it is the most common type of cancer in this country.
So the number of skin cancers every year outnumber all cancers when you add them up together. So there's over 14,000 skin cancers diagnosed every year. And that's probably not the most accurate figure. There's probably more, because the cancer registry, which actually very good data, and we're very lucky in having very good data in Ireland, records only one skin cancer, you know, for a patient. But it often, patient might have two or three.
Yes. And there are two different types of skin cancer.
So there's two different types of skin cancer. So melanoma is the one that most people probably are aware of, and that's the deadliest form of skin cancer. So that's coming up to being the third and fourth most common skin cancer in men and women. So our numbers are getting up there. So that's the one where it arises in two different ways. In half of cases, it arises from a mole changing. So people should know what to look out for in moles that change. And it's a simple rule. It's the A, B, C, D, E. So A is if a mole becomes asymmetrical.
Right.
B is if the border changes, so if it becomes sort of ragged outline. C is the colour, so if you get more than two colours in a mole. And then D is for diameter, so if a mole is getting bigger, or, you know, about 0.5, 0.6, but increasing in size.
Right.
And then E is evolution, so changing. So that's half of how melanoma arises. And then in about the other half, it arises in a new mole. So rather than a pre-existing mole, it's a new mole that arrives. You should be aware that you can get new moles, and it's perfectly normal to do so up until your mid-30s. So it's if you get a new mole and that it changes. So that's melanoma skin cancer. And that's the most the deadliest type of skin cancer. So there's approximately 1,400 diagnosed every year in Ireland. But we'd have about 140 deaths from melanoma every year.
And if I never went out in the sun, is that one way of preventing it?
It'd have a bit of a miserable life.
I suppose what I'm asking is it preventable? Is it completely preventable?
By and large. So the biggest risk factor for developing a melanoma is sun exposure. But there are other risk factors, such as a family history. That's an important one. And then if you've already been diagnosed with a melanoma, you've had slightly increased risk of developing a second one.
Okay. And there are different skin types, and different skin types are more or less susceptible to the effects of the sun.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right.
And we have, most of us Irish people, are pale skinned.
So it's a thing called the Fitzpatrick skin type. And your listeners can go on to the Irish Cancer Society website, and you can actually do a quiz there that'll tell you what Fitzpatrick skin type you have. So he was a dermatologist of Irish extraction in America, who in 1975 developed this type of skin. So Fitzpatrick skin type 1 always burns, never tans. So that's your redheads and people with green eyes. Fitzpatrick skin type 2 usually burns and gets minimal tan. And then Fitzpatrick skin type 3 sometimes burns but can tan. So burns and then eventually tans. So 75% of Irish people are skin type 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So we're just fair skinned.
Yeah. I suppose for a long time it didn't affect us too much because of our weather. And then we all started getting on planes and going to sunnier climes.
But actually, that's not the case
at
all.
No.
And that's where I think people make the mistake. So from the 1st of April to the end of September in Ireland, doesn't matter if it's like today, raining every 5 minutes, you need to protect your skin from the sun, even on a cloudy day, because at that time of the year, the sun is positioned at a high enough point that the UV radiation at ground level can not necessarily burn you but can cause damage, and you can get sunburned also.
No, you're right, and we said this the last time, and it's just all coming back to me now. that's just the only time I get burned is here in Ireland, because
yes,
you take precautions when you're abroad.
The usual
time I get burned is at the beginning of the summer, because yes, you're out of the habit of applying sunscreen and wearing a hat, and that's when it catches you off guard. Yeah,
1st of April to the end of September.
Right. Okay. Now, to prevent, you've the five S's. You like the A, B, C, D, E. That's asymmetrical, the border, the colour, the diameter and the evolution. That's with regards to the things. And then to prevent sun cancer and protect our skin, you have the five S's, which are?
So the five S's are to slip on clothing, because that's something that people mightn't be as aware of, but one of the best ways of protecting your skin is actually to wear long sleeves and, you know, long trousers for your children, particularly because it's miserable running after children, trying to put sunblock on. And if you hold your T-shirt up to the light and you can see the light through it, it's not going to protect you from the
sun. And natural fabrics are less likely to protect you. Is that the case?
No. It actually depends on the weave.
Right, okay.
If it's tightly woven, but for the linen. So that's slip on your clothing. And only then, you're only relying on your sunblock then to protect your face, your neck, for example, and the back of your hands. Then you slip on your sunglasses, because it's important to protect your eyes from the sun as well. Stick on your hat and then seek shade from 11 until 3 o'clock, so during the hottest times of the day.
Yeah. And then slap on sunscreen.
Yes.
That's the other S. Slide on the sunglasses, slap on the sunscreen, slap on a hat, slip on clothing and seek shade.
Yes.
Right. And sunscreen, what factor should we have on?
So at least a factor 30 for adults and a factor 50 for children.
Right. No excuses.
No excuses. And, you know, there isn't really, because there's such a broad range of sunscreens that you can get. You can get them in the pharmacies or in supermarkets. You know, there's a price range for everyone.
Okay. Now, we said you were coming in, and we asked our listeners, did they have any questions for you? And they did. So let's go through a few of those. Could you ask your professor which is best, sunscreen or sunblock? Best regards, David and Dunleary.
Well, David, they're the same thing. Yeah. Sunscreen and sunblock are the same thing. In fact, the most accurate way probably to describe it is sun factor or SPF.
Yeah, what does SPF mean?
Sun protection factor.
Right. So say SPF of 30.
So that means that, so there's two types of radiation that you're trying to protect your skin against. One is UVB, which is what causes it to burn, and the other is UVA, which can damage your skin cells. So the SPF refers to the protection from UVB. So what a 30 means is, let's say you go out and burn within 5 minutes in the sun, you can stay out 30 times longer than your burning time.
Right, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that that people make, you kind of have to reapply your sun, your SPF. And then the other thing is the number of stars an SPF has, which refers to the UVA protection. And that's on the back of the sunblock. And ideally, you want one with 5 stars. So quite good UVA and UVB protection.
Right. And what about vitamin D?
That's a good question. And we're all much more conscious of vitamin D after COVID. So, and you're absolutely right, because a lot of people who live in northern
Europe
or northern latitudes are vitamin D deficient. But the amount of sunshine that you require to generate vitamin D is estimated to be about 15 minutes. Okay. So it's completely different to the amount that you're going to burn.
Yeah.
So most people are getting enough sunshine.
Okay, right.
So that's one thing. But the other thing I would say, though, is that if people are very careful, and some people are careful about their sun because they have lupus or something like that, they should take super milk or supplements.
Vitamin D. Okay, my 8-year-old came back from holidays with her cousins after the weekend with fierce sunburn. I'm very worried about the long-term damage to her skin. Can you ask your expert what I can do to offset it?
Well, I feel so sorry for the mum. I wouldn't be overly concerned. One sunburn isn't going to, cause permanent damage to her daughter's skin. And as long as it's not a blistering sunburn, and just make sure that she doesn't get another sunburn. And then with regard to offsetting it, the mum is saying that she's using after sun and aloe vera, so she's doing everything just right.
But if you get a number of bad sunburns as a child, that affects your long-term possibilities of getting skin cancer.
For example, a blistering sunburn as a child can double your risk of melanoma.
Right. Yeah. Oh. Because I remember a blistering one when I was about 8 or 9.
You never forget.
No, it's the horrible.
Pain.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the itchiness and then the scabs and all that.
Miserable.
Yeah. I have a mole on the tip of my armpit. The tip of my armpit that got aggravated by a scratchy top. It's a bit redder and more inflamed than usual. Is there anything I should do with it?
I would let that settle down, because I suspect that has just become irritated by friction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry too much. I can't stand to wear hats, says this person, presuming it's a man, but my hair is receding a lot. Is there anything I can use to stop the bald patches from getting burned this summer?
Well, you can use, an SPF, factor 50. Although, sometimes that makes you sweat.
There's nothing better than a hat. He just has to find a hat that suits him.
Unfortunately. We used to see these problems, when gentlemen wore hats in the 50s.
Yeah.
You used to see half the number of skin cancers on patients' heads.
Because you get a lot on bald heads, do you? Mm-hmm.
Well, right. It's a completely horizontal surface that you're presenting to the sun.
Yeah, well, I'm a hat wearer when it comes to the sun. The warm weather is making my, I can never pronounce that.
Rosacea
flare up. Does the skin expert know of anything I could use to prevent that from happening? I use SPF already and Carav, is it? With its
CeraVe,
there you go, with its gentlest face wash I can find for my face. Any ideas?
The listener is doing actually everything right, because they're absolutely right. UV light can flare up rosacea, which is known as the curse of the Celts. It's very, very common among Irish people.
So this is on your cheeks, is it?
So it's where people get little red bumps, or they can be little pustules, and then they get kind of background redness. And then when it progresses, you can have a lot of broken veins across the nose. And in fact, you can get thickening of the nose and of the chin.
Right.
Kind of Serrano de Bergerac.
Yeah, the sort of the whiskey nose that people... It's not true whiskey.
Well, three things drive it.
Right, go on.
One is sunshine.
Yeah.
The second is alcohol.
All right.
The other thing is spicy food.
Okay.
So it's not quite divorced from the whiskey.
So if you're a person who eats curries outside and drinks a lot of whiskey, then it would... all the contributory factors there.
But they're doing all the right things. And perhaps, if they maybe reapply the SPF...
Good luck with that. This is going to annoy you. Is there any difference between using 20 versus 50 when it comes to tanning?
So the big thing with that is the word tanning.
Tanning, I know. I knew that would get you going. Go on. You don't like the word tanning at all.
No, because tanning is, you know, it's your
skin. It's like browning meat. It's like browning your, searing your steak.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. So when you tan, in your cells, it's a thing called melanin moving over to try and prevent your nucleus from being damaged from the sun. It's your skin actually trying to protect yourself. So there's no such thing as a healthy tan.
Right.
It's damaging to your skin. And even apart from the risk of skin cancer, it's aging.
Yeah.
You know, so you might look healthy now, but give it 10 years and you probably won't look quite so.
It's mad because I remember back in the day when very few people went on, foreign holidays, and that person had come back and everybody wanted, to know them because they looked healthy and more attractive and all the good stuff.
But there's fake tan.
Yes, yeah. Fake tan.
But with
we're big consumers of fake tan in this country.
Absolutely. I think we're one of the highest per capita users of fake tan. But there's loads of different good brands of fake tan. And, you know, but with regard to the difference between 20 and a 50, so a 50 is going to completely protect yourself from sun damage, whereas a 20 won't give you that degree of protection.
Okay. And finally, my skin has become very dry. I used sun beds for a couple of years, about 4 years ago, but have stopped. Could it be damaged as a result? Can I reverse that damage?
Well, with regard to sun beds, I mean, they're probably even more of a risk of developing skin cancer because the radiation is much more intense. Whether or not the dryness is related, possibly not. As you get older, your skin becomes more dry. Anyway, so I'm not sure I would attribute that completely to the sunbed, but certainly the radiation that you're getting on the sunbed is aging. So the most potent or the most useful anti-aging, so forget all the creams and the collagen, is actually protecting your skin from the sun.
There you go.
It's the most anti-aging thing.
I was looking at a picture I was telling you before we went on air of Anne Hathaway. She was on a red carpet at the Cannes Film Festival. There's a brilliant picture on the cover of, I think, The Guardian on Saturday morning. And there's a wall of photographers and she's there being photographed by them. And then she's looking over her shoulder at another photographer who's taking her and the wall of photographers. But she has, a backless dress and she's white. She's completely white. No sun got near that skin at all.
Yeah. She's beautiful skin.
Beautiful skin. If I ever meet her, Anne, you have beautiful skin. What factor do you use? So anyway, are you hopeful? We're getting better, are we?
Oh, absolutely.
We've got over our infatuation with sun.
Well,
no, not really.
I would hope we have. And the thing, I think maybe even in terms of fashion, that the tide might be turning. So for example, if you look at the models in Italian Vogue, they're all pale. So I think the tide may be turning on that.
Okay.
But it's an entirely preventable skin cancer.
Yes, yes. So there you go. That's the message. The 5 S's, I better go back to them now. Seek shade, slip on clothing, slap on a hat, slap on sunscreen and slide on some sunglasses. There you go, all the S's.
And you can get that. Healthy Ireland have a little infographic. The Irish Cancer Society or irishskin.ie.
Final question before you go, because people are going to the cupboard now to fetch last year's sunscreen. Is it still as potent as it was this time last year?
So when you take out your bottle of sunscreen, which of course will be empty because you used so much of it the previous year, there's a symbol on the back that almost looks like a jar with the lid off, and it'll either say 6 months or 12 months. So people usually know roughly when they bought it. So that tells you how long you can use it for after it's been open and before the active ingredients degrade.
Right.
So just look at that, because you're absolutely right, they do have a shelf life.
Oh, they do, right.
When they're open.
Okay. Professor Anne-Marie Tobin, Clinical Lead for Dermatology in the HSE. Thanks so much for sharing all your knowledge with us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.